We left off last week, we were discussing the Malach of Havara, and we came to the realization that according to one Tana, the Malach of Havara, the Malach of lighting a fire, is strangely enough more lenient than all the other Malachas. That all other Malachas, one is Chayef Skila, Karis, etc. For Havara, according to one opinion, one is not over any of that. It's still an Isser, it's a Lav of the Terlos of our age, but Havara Lav Yatzos. So we unequivocally do not paskin like that. We paskin that lighting a fire is an outright malacha deraisa, velishum suffik, velishum difference. No difference whatsoever. But within that view that Havara was lalav yatzas, so there was a very, very important potential nafkamina lahalacha. That was an issue that Taisus raised. Taisus in Maseches Beitza, and a little bit of Maseches Pesachim, points out that if you subscribe to that view that we don't accept Havara is lalav yatzas, then Havara does not apply on Yontif entirely. Because on Yontif, only Melachas are also, other kinds of Yisurei Shabbos that are not Peteres Melacha do not necessarily carry over to Yontif. So again, in terms of Havara, not too relevant for us, but in terms of other Yisurim, it will be relevant. So we mentioned at the very end of the Shia last week that this may impact in terms of the Sug of Tchumin. There's a prohibition to go out of the Tchum. Maybe the Raisa, maybe the Rabbanan, depending on how much, etc., different opinions, but at least according to some, there may be an Isser Minatorah of Tchumin under certain circumstances. So there's a further Machlokes in the Rishonim. What would the din be? Would Tchumin be awesome in HaTorah on Yantif? Or maybe on Yantif, Tchumin would only be awesome in the Rabbanan according to all opinions. So there is a Gemara that tells us that, commenting on the Pasuk, in Parshas Re'eh, Ufanisa Baboker, Vahalachta Liu Halecha. So the Torah says that after you bring the Korban Pesach, so you wait until the morning and then you go home. So the Gemara says, Mikan, that you have to wait for another day. Mikan Shaton Lina. You have to stay an extra night. So where does it say in the Chumash you have to stay an extra night? It sounds from the Pasuk that you bring the Korban Pesach, Pesach, and you have your Seder at night, and then you wake up the next morning and you go home. Rashi, one place, writes that no, it can't mean that. It cannot mean that you go home the morning of Yom Tov, because how are you going to go home? It'd be Nisa going Chutz Tchum. Chutz Tchum, wait a second. Who said going Chutz Tchum is a Nisa Deraisa? If we're saying Taich, we're saying Pshat and Apostle Chumash based on Nisa of Tchumin, so that's a big stretch. That's assuming that Tchumin is Deraisa. That's assuming that Tchumin is Deraisa and Yontif also. So that seems to be against what we're saying in our Sugya. Taisus in our Sugya is saying that whenever you have something in Shabbos that's not Peteres Melacha, so it's never really carries over, it's never really usher on Yontif. So that Rashi seems to be disagreeing. Rashi is a Rishon, Rashi is the Tata's opinion. But again, it's a Machlek, it's a Rishon. So again, my nafkamina for us, at the end of the day, Havara is not Lalav Yotzos. At the end of the day, there's Nisot Tchumin, either Deraisa, Derabon, and so my nafkamina. So there is a potential nafkamina. Potential nafkamina, again, not for us people who live in the city, maybe live out in the farms, will be a nafkamina ladina in terms of Shvisas Behema. There's a din in a Torah that my animal is not allowed to do Malach, even if I'm not doing a malacha. I'm sitting and singing Baruch Kalel Yoni, enjoying my cholent and Shabbos afternoon, and my animal is outside working, plowing, carrying in a place where there's no Erev. There's a whole parak of Masechah Shabbos dedicated to what animals are allowed to have on their backs. What's considered to be carrying, what's going to be wearing for animals? Mebehima Yetza. There's an Issam in HaTorah for my animal to be working, even though I'm not doing anything with the animal. So that pasuk called Shvisas Behem is not a malacha. If I violate Shvisas Behem, I have skila for that. It's an Isser and Shabbos. It's an Isser Shalobateres Belocha. So there's a big Machlekes Aposkim where the Din of Shvisas Behem applies in Yontif or not. So it's Machlekes the Ramon the Gra. So the Ramon writes that there's no Isser Shvisas Behem in Yontif. In Yontif, your animals can do whatever they want, they can do. And the Gra says no. The Gra says there's the same Isser of Shvisas Behem on Shabbos carries over to Yontif as well. So what's the Nekudas of Machlekes? What's the point of contention? So this seems to be the very Machlekes, namely, we know Chazal tell us, the Mishnah says, Megillah, Ein Bein Yontif L'Shabbos Al Eichel Nefesh B'Vah. There's no difference between Shabbos and Yontif, except for Eichel Nefesh. So some Rishonim understood that to mean absolute, all-inclusive, everything under the sun is part of that statement, that all Yisrael Shabbos, all the Din of Shabbos, whatever you can't do on Shabbos, you can't do on Yontif, with the exception of the cooking, the baking, the carrying, whatever, things like that, unless it's Eichel Nefesh. And others say, no, what that means is Ein Bein Melecha Shabbos L'Lecha Yontif. Whatever's also B'Toras Melecha and Shabbos carries over to Yontif. Whatever's not also B'Toras Melecha doesn't carry over. So again, this is a running Machlokes, which some of it is not relevant at all in Maaseh for us, but some of it may Maybe some Taka may really be relevant to Maisa. Some of you may remember, we actually spoke about this back in the Elul Shirim. And it's hard to, it's in the middle of the end of Chodesh Tevis right now, so it's hard to remember what's going on in Elul. But if I remember correctly, so during this past Elul, we gave a series of Shirim related to the dinim of Tekiah Shofar Daf Ben Shabbos, or actually, really more correctly, the Tekiah Shofar that doesn't take place in Shabbos. So we quoted the famous machlokes between the Talmud Bavli and the Talmud Yerushalmi, why the mice we don't blow shofar in Shabbos. So we're all familiar with the reason given in the Bavli. We're afraid you're going to carry the shofar. So the Rishami says a different thing. So the Rishami says, no, that it's a dimin Torah that you're not allowed to blow shofar on Shabbos. That's it. Why not? Where? Who? Vishtate that you're not allowed to blow shofar on Shabbos. So the Rishami learns out from a pasuk. It says Yom Truah Yelochem in one place. Another place it says Zichron Truah Mikra Kodesh. Yom Truah means to actually blow, and Zichron Truah means just to remember, just to talk about it, to say the Psukim, Zav Musaf, not actually to blow. So the Rishami understood that that Pasuk Yom Truah Yelochem refers to Rosh Hashanah on a weekday, and Zichron Truah Mikra Kodesh refers to Rosh Hashanah on Shabbos. And it's a real din min haTorah, and many understood it to be Bamshin Isser Goma min haTorah, to blow shofar on Shabbos. So there's an Isser to blow shofar on Shabbos. Why shouldn't there be an Isser to blow shofar on Yom Tov also? And I'm not saying it should be also blow shofar on Rosh Hashanah. That's a silly question. The Torah says it's supposed to blow. But I'm saying, let's say a person would blow shofar on Shavuos. A person would blow shofar on Pesach. So would you say that that's an Isser? So it should be also. But Rishami is telling us that there's an Isser gom amid deraisa to blow shofar. It's almost like going out of the tchum. It's like Shri's Beima. It's an Isser learned out from the Pesach Isser essay called Zichron Truah, which teaches me that blowing shofar and Shabbos is off limits. Then the chora that you carry over the Yom Tov as well. That's partially not true. The Mishnah says in Maseches Chulin actually that when Yom Tov would fall out on Erev Shabbos, they would blow the shofar. Let me do Rosh Hashanah. They would blow the shofar. Lahashras Amim Melachah. There's a din that at Erev Shabbos is supposed to blow the shofar to remind people to close up the stores, to leave the fields, to get ready to bench left, to get all the Shabbos preparations. There was a special tikkunos chacham. He's supposed to blow the shofar. We don't do that anymore. Shining right, we live in our communities, it's not really going to work. We live in non-Jewish communities, people aren't going to hear the show, whatever. The mice said, it's not going to fly up as much as that. And they're just roll, so they have a little bit of a zecha to that. They blow the Shabbos siren, they sound the siren 40 minutes before Shki and Rishalayim. But that's like a zecha. But in the days of Chazal, so it was a real din, he had to actually blow the shofar on Erev Shabbos. So the Mishnah says that even if Yom Tov turned out to be an Erev Shabbos, they would still blow the shofar. Even though nobody was in the stores, and nobody was out in the fields, the people were still cooking, people were doing other, they were putting up cholins, they were cooking soup, they were doing other things. So they had to remind them to stop, it's time to bench left, time to begin Shabbos. So they used to actually blow the shofar on Yom Tov as well. So the Shagas Ari asked the question, how can you blow the shofar? If blowing shofar, according to Rishalmi, is an Isser Gomer Min HaTorah, it's not just a gezer you're going to carry, it's an Isser Deraisa derived from Zichron Truah. So how can it be remarked that Isser on Yom Tov? So one of the Acharonim, in the back of the Gemara, says Rosh Hashanah, the mitzvah Eson, suggests that the answer is as follows, that the Isser of blowing shofar, according to Rishami, is not melacha, it's like tchumen, it's like avar lav yotzos, it's like shvus behema, it's a din on Shabbos, it's a mitzvah that's neheges on Shabbos, but shalom b'toras melacha, whatever is a mitzvah, shalom b'toras melacha, doesn't carry over to Yom Tov. So again, that would be another potential application of that principle. And again, this is all very, very theoretical, because we postulate the Bavli anyway. There's no Isidoraisa altogether. So we have a lot of nafkaminas, but in terms of nafkaminas lamaisa, very, very little left of nafkaminas lamaisa. The only last possible nafkamina before we put an end to the sugi for now is a comment that the Mechas Chinuch makes. Mechas Chinuch thinks that this shaila about whether the mitzvahs of Shabbos spill over to Yom Tov, even if they're not b'toras melacha, may not only apply to Isurim, it may impact on mitzvah sase as well. For example, the mitzvah of Kiddush. So here the Torah says, Zochas Yom HaShabbos L'Kacho. The Gemara says explicitly in Brachas and in Psachim, there's a mitzvah D'Araisa to make Kiddush on Shabbos. So it's less clear whether there's a mitzvah D'Araisa to make Kiddush on Yom Tov or not. Everyone agrees you have to make Kiddush on Yom Tov. It's a Mishnah Psachim that you make Kiddush on Yom Tov. No one's arguing that. But whether the recitation of Kiddush on Yom Tov night is also D'Araisa, that's already a much more loaded question. So the Rambam sounds like it is, and the Magid Mishnah on the Rambam says Beferish that's not. It's a little bit strange because the Magid Mishnah doesn't even make reference to the fact that he's almost arguing with the Rambam. So it's a Shalom Rishonim. Other Rishonim also talk about it a little bit. So What's the issue? Should there be a mitzvah of Kiddush, Minat Torah, and Yontif Anat? And Mechaz Chinuch, that's the same shayla. If you hold that Ein Bein Yontif L'Shabbos means every single thing that exists on Shabbos exists on Yontif, Shabbos and Yontif are identical except for that very, very small area of Allah called Echol Nefesh. So then if they're identical for Isurim, they're identical for mitzvahs as well. And whatever you have to do on Shabbos, you have to do on Yontif. But if you hold that Ein Bein Shabbos L'Yontif is limited to Malachas, and there are differences, Havar L'Aviyatzos is a difference, and Tchumen is a difference, and Shrisbeim is a difference, and Tekev Shaif is a difference, so then Kiddush may be a difference also. So it may come out at the Acharei Kichlei Sakol, the last Nafkamina, maybe the most practical Nafkamina, namely, it's Kiddush on Yontif V'mitzvah D'Oraisa. That's the most, Hayyitz V'Edvam. You know, this is supposed to be a Halacha Shiur. This is like more of a Lamda Shashir tonight than a Halacha Shiur. Every single Nafkamina ends up to be Shalek Halacha, so at least a Chapt one. You're probably still wondering, okay, come on. That's the best we can come up with. After 15 minutes of a shiur, the best we can come up with is nafkamina with a kiddush and nerves deraisa. I mean, kiddush anyway, my nafkamina deraisa deravon. So there's an interesting nafkamina, possibly. Kivega has a kiddush that he thinks that maybe women have to some kiddush and yantif. He says, kiddush and Shabbos women have to make because it's a deraisa, shama vizach, when you brach in emro, it's a brachas. Kiddush and yantif for Kivega is not sure that women have to make. He's made to say that could be women don't have to make it. Why? Because he thinks the Ikra Din is that Kiddush and Yontif is only a Derabonon, and if it's only a Derabonon, then it's a Seh Shehaz Ma'an Grama, and Shama V'Zochar, that was the source, Shama V'Zochar, the Rechen Emma, that was the Mechaye for women to make Kiddush on Friday night. It doesn't apply to Yontif. So out of all the Nafkaminas that I got, from Tekiyah Shaifa to Shvisas Behema to Lavar Lav Yotzos, to this, to that, the only thing that may have any relevance at all for us Lamaisa, maybe the Shaila. Is your wife chayav to hear Kiddush in front of on Yontif night? That's Acharei Klesikol. Your wife is hearing Kiddush on Yontif night. Don't worry about it. Whether you hold it to Taisal, all the women hearing Kiddush on Yontif night, but that could potentially be an Afghan. So getting back to our story, back to the regular Havara part, back to our discussion, the main part of our discussion. So yes, there was a Machlekes HaTanoim, whether Havara is L'Lav Yotzos or not, but L'maisa we passed in Halacha that it's L'Chalik. So we who paskin that Havara is on par with a regular Malacha, it sounds like it's almost a no-brainer that for us, Havara applies to Yontif. Absolutely applies to Yontif. Now, just because we say there's an Isser of Havara and Yontif doesn't mean that lighting all fires in Yontif is going to be Asa. Havara is not going to be any different than the other Malachas of Eichel Nefesh. So again, we know I'm allowed to cook on Yontif food. I'm allowed to shecht on Yontif, mikudin, allowed to carry food on Yontif. So I should be permitted to light my fires on Yontif L'Tzarech HaChol Nefesh, which is in fact the case, that is the din. But I want to know, can we extend that out of the realm of Eichel Nefesh? Do we have a right to say that I can light my fire for other things in Yontif? So again, we've left Shabbos for a minute, we're in the realm of Yontif. If we would have held that Avar L'Lav Yotzos, which we don't hold, if we would have subscribed to that sheet, the Shalek Halacha, then we could have followed Tosfos' lead and said, well, Havar doesn't apply to Yontif. You light whatever you please. There are no limitations. But we can't go down that route because we pass the Havar as L'chalik Yotzos. Havar is a regular Malach like all the other 38 Malachas. It was singled out by the Torah for different reasons, but it's not any less of a Malacha. So then Havara is an absolute bona fide Malach on Shabbos. Then the corollary is it's an absolute bona fide Malach on Yontif as well. The only thing is, if it's Echol Nefesh, it's okay. Can we extend a little bit? Can we branch out a little bit out of the limited category of Echol Nefesh? A little bit we can. So we can invoke the principle of Mitoch, something we've spoken about in the past. When it comes to Malachas and Yontif, Mitoch Shahutra L'Tzorech Hutadam Shalom L'Tzorech. Let's say, for example, the Mishnah says in Beit Zedek Yedeis, you're allowed to carry a lulav on Sukkot. You're allowed to carry a shofar Hashanah. You're allowed to push a baby carriage on Yontif. That's okay. Ah, you're not eating the lulav, you're not eating the shofar. The answer is Mitoch. Since the Torah permits to carry for food, so included in that head there is other kinds of carrying as well. Now, this is a very, very touchy, very controversial statement. There's a big machlekes Rashi and Tosfos. What does that mean? Mitoch shehutra tzol tzorech, hutranami shelo letzorech. The shelo letzorech means shelo letzorech klal. You can carry anything on Yontif, whether you need it, you don't need it, you want it, you know what? Means mitoch shehutra tzol tzorech hutadam shelo letzorech. That's what Rashi says. What do I say? Like Tosfos says, no. Tosfos says, "Mitoch shechutra utzol utzora chutra shelol utzorach," means that you're allowed to carry things on Yontif if it's not for Echol Nefesh, but it has to be Lutzorach Hayom. It has to be something. There has to be some purpose. You carry for no reason whatsoever would, believe it or not, be an Issa Deraisa, according to Tosfos. So a guy just stops spaziering in the street and walking around carrying a pebble. He's not going to eat it. He's not going to use it. Nothing, zero. With the Rashi, Minatara, nothing wrong. Maybe Mukta problem, Minatara, it's okay. With the Tosfos, that's an Issa Goma Midaraisa Chem Malkus for doing that enough. So that Machlek is Rashi and Tosfos, L'chor should carry over to other Malachas as well, such as Havara. So a person goes in and he lights a candle on Yadiv for no reason whatsoever, zero. Just stomp, the kicks, puts on a candle, lights up a candle. So what's the din? So according to Rashi, fine, no big deal. That's what the Rishami calls the Nier Shel Batola. So according to Rishami, that's fine. Nothing to be lost. According to Tosfos, that's what they said there, Isa. According to Tosfos, you're not allowed to do that. You're only allowed to light in Yontif if there's some kind of a tzarach. Again, it doesn't have to be for food. It could be for reading. It could be for keeping the house warm. It could be other reasons. It doesn't have to be for food. But it must be tzarach hayom to some degree of tzarach hayom. That's a big, big machlokes. Rishon machlokes, machaber, and Ramah. Big shayla halacha. How do we paskin in the Shaila? Do we paskin that you're allowed to light candles for no reason? So the Maharshal writes that people in Europe are very lenient about this. And people in Europe used to light candles for no one asked whether it was purposeful, not purposeful. People used to be very makel about this. And the later paskin writes, not right. We really shouldn't rely on this. That we should be machber like Taisus, we should be machber like appears in the Rishami, not to light near a Shabbatola. Again, this is all because we don't accept the word of Labiotas. Imagine if we would have accepted a Varla Labiotas, the world would have been much easier on Yom Tov. Forget about Shabbos. It would have been easier on Yom Tov. Since we paskin that Avar is a real malacha on Shabbos, therefore it's a real malacha on Yom Tov, the only matter is Echol Nefesh, or the extended hetter of Mitoch. But if it falls short of Echol Nefesh and Mitoch, then you have a very, very real problem. So in Ochinami, we talk to have situations where we are challenged with that question. Can we light candles? Can we light fires on Yom Tov? We just ignore everything. Everything's hunky-dory. Everything's wonderful. Do I say no? Everything's not so wonderful. That it has to be a real, real bona fide Tzarech Hayom. So we who accept the halacha that it has to be a bona fide Tzarech Hayom, so now the question becomes, how do you define bona fide Tzarech Hayom? What constitutes a Tzarech Hayom? Again, this is a little bit more of a Yom Tov shayla than obviously than a Shabbos shayla, but it's emanating from Malachas Havara. So what is a Tzarech Hayom, what's not a Tzarech Hayom? So the Gemara in Ksubis and Avzayim tells us that in order to qualify as a Tzarech Hayom, that's what's called the Dover HaShava L'chol Nefesh. That's to be something that everybody likes to do. It's a normal kind of a thing. Eating, food, shechting, cooking, carrying, those are normal kinds of things. What if a person wants to do a Malacha and Yontif that's not called Shava L'chol Nefesh? So the Pasuk says, Acha Sheye Ocha L'chol Nefesh. L'chol Nefesh means that everybody likes these things. What if it's something that not everybody likes? Some very delicate people have very, very exotic kind of tastes and things like that. So they like to do these kinds of things. But yeah, but sure, partially the guy doesn't do these kinds of things. The Gemara says that's a problem. The Gemara says that would be a Nisa Deraisa in Yontif. For this reason, the Gemara says that if you want to smell these kinds of, burn these incense, or burn these, special kind of spices, I'm not talking about some of the other issues involved in burning these kinds of things, but assuming that there's no other negative characteristics of these things you burn just to make a nice aroma in the house. So Gemara says that's not so simple. The average guy doesn't do those kinds of things. Most people don't care about those kinds of things. And therefore, that could pose a problem of a dover she'eino shavu l'chol nefesh, and that would be problematic. So there's a Tosfos in Masechta Shabbos that says that when you have a kind of an action that most people don't do, but you're doing it for a very, very real, normal purpose. Most people don't do it this way, but you are doing it for a good purpose. Or you're doing it for medical purposes. So if you're doing something to enhance medically, so that's automatically called the Dover Shavu L'chol Nefesh. What's the Pshat in Tosfos? So the Chavra Tosfos is driving at is that it's true that most people don't do it, because Baruch Hashem, most people aren't sick. But if a person would be sick, he would do it. It's not like the spices. The spices, I get burned with spices. It's nothing stopping me from burning incense, making a party in my house. It's not like they do it. Well, you take a poll, 90% of people don't care about this kind of things. That's called a Dover Shem L'chol Nefesh. But if you have a certain malacha that's being done for medical purposes, so Baruch Hashem, 90% of the people are not sick, but whoever is sick would be doing it. So that is considered to be. So it's based on that sugya that there was a very, very famous kula that was given way, way back in the 1700s. it's a kula that nobody should rely on Bizman Hazeh for multiple reasons. The kula was given by the Pnei Yehoshua. The Pnei Yehoshua was asked, she was a Gedolim of Europe in the 1700s, he was asked the following shaila. The shaila was about, in those days, people didn't smoke cigarettes, they were smoking pipes, whatever it was, smoking on Yom Tov. That was the shaila that was presented to the Pnei Yehoshua. Are you permitted to smoke on Yom Tov? What was the shaila? The shaila is that in the process of the smoking, so you're lighting a fire, you're lighting, igniting the tobacco, so it's causing the tobacco to burn up, to light up, so that would be a problem of Havara. So they asked the Pnei Yehoshua, is that permissible? So the question that was, the way the Pnei Yehoshua proposed the question was, is that called the Dover Shav L'chol Nefesh? Was that called the Dover Shein Shav L'chol Nefesh? So Pnei Yehoshua answered that even though most people weren't smoking, he thought it was still called the Dover Shav L'chol Nefesh. Why? Because he said, whatever's being done for medical purposes, whatever's being done, the refuah, if it enhances your health, so then that's automatically called Dover Shav L'chol Nefesh. So Pnei Yehoshua was not, you can't blame him. He was up to date in the science and medicine of the 1700s. So in the 1700s, apparently there was a theory out there that smoking was good for you, it's healthy for you. So we have well passed that point, just in case no one realized that it is agreed upon by every single person of any degree of intelligence in today's world that smoking is not healthy for you. But again, you can't blame the Pnei Yehoshua for not knowing that. So the Pnei Yehoshua in the 1700s, so he thought that since smoking was being done for medicinal purposes, so it was called the Dover Shav L'chol Nefesh, and therefore it could be mutter, even though most people aren't doing it, it's still okay because the Dover Shav L'chol Nefesh. So the later poskim have pointed out that we have no right to rely on that kula, pashas, we have no right to rely on that kula b'zman hazeh for multiple reasons. So the most important reason is because we have a rule in Allah called Ein Yisachel Alisser. Namely, when something is also for one reason, it can't be also for a second reason. It's also to smoke all week long. Forget about Yom Tov. The Nisa Deraisa, to smoke all the time. It's a Nisa Gomer of Nishmat and Olin Ashaseichem. So therefore, under no circumstances, in any shape or form, can anyone ever sanction smoking Bizman Hazeh. But again, so putting aside that small technicality, but even just from the Yom Tov point of view, so it's very, very hard to justify smoking Bizman Hazeh, to say that the Dover Shav L'chol Nefesh, because it's good medicinally, it's not, it's just not the facts. So again, Phineas Daiti, it's Usr, Bain 6 days a week, or seven, no, Shabbos is always Usr, and it's Usr on Yom Tov as well. Although I have to be honest that there were people who used to do it. There are still people who do it today, but there were people who used to do it. Some of you probably remember as well. I remember when I was growing up as a little boy, it was common. People used to smoke on Yom Tov. No, I remember from some of the old timers that it was even not some of the old timers. It was so common. Now we're in the year 2021. So, it seems like so ludicrous, but not only do people smoke on Yom Tov, I remember that there used to be yahrzeit candles in the shuls, in the lobbies, that were set up for people to, I guess people didn't smoke inside the shuls. I think it was just like, no one smoked even on weekday inside the middle of Shacharis, but people would go out in the middle of davening and would light up the cigarettes. No, am I the only one who remembers that? No, that part I don't remember. Yeah, maybe in Montreal they did that. Okay, and again, Levice, I remember that image as a little boy. So again, people did that. But again, that was back in the 1960s. It wasn't even so known yet the hazards of smoking at that point. The bottom line is, it's a totally irrelevant shalom as man hazeh. No one should be smoking ever, ever, ever. And on Yom Tov also, the Phineas Daiti would be a chashash of real issa deraisa in terms of chil yom. I'm sorry, what are you?
Why did Pnei Yehoshua have to come up with Dover Shava B'chol Nefesh that it's good for you health-wise? But even if it wasn't good necessarily healthy for you, but a lot of people were doing it because it made them feel good. Why the hell?
Very good. Excellent question. So I think the truth is that the Metzias in the days of Pnei Yehoshua, a lot of people were not smoking. I think most people were not. It was considered to be still an exotic pleasure at that time. It wasn't such a common thing. I think probably in the later years in Europe, as I imagine, and I don't know the history of the tobacco industry, but I imagine as years went on, it became even more prevalent. And once it became something that everyone was doing, then you needed to come on to the Pnei Yehoshua. Right. Even Bishayit, even in the days of Pnei Yehoshua, people disagreed with him. It was not agreed upon at all. But the minute was many, many people used to smoke on the... Anyway, back to our story. So we who pass in the halacha that you need echal nefesh or b'toich or something like that, it's all because we did not have our lav yatzos. It's for this reason that we spoke about this in the past, in some of the Wednesday night shiur, we spoke about this a little. the famous shaila that the Mishnah Berurah quotes from early Achronim about certain kinds of lighting candles on Yom Tov, which are not an absolute real necessity. And the Mishnah Berurah discusses the question of lighting Yurtzeit candles on Yom Tov, either for the person who has Yurtzeit or the person who likes to light for Yisker. So that's a whole loaded question. Is that considered to be enough of a tzorech hayom in order to be matir havaros? Again, if you hold the vara laviotus, then everything's okay. If you hold that mitoch lepoazik rashi to even things that not tzorech hayom klal, then everything's also okay. But if you hold like we pashtus hold like the Ramaz machmir that you shouldn't really be doing malachas in yontem unless tzorech hayom, then you have a further question: what's be tzorech hayom? How do you define exactly tzorech hayom? So we know that tzorech mitzvah is a tzorech hayom. The Mishnah says you can carry a shofar, carry a lulav, a matzah. That those are considered to be tzorech hayom. So there is a machlekes rishonim, and of the mitzvah and kolavokar and psachim. We'll get to this a lot much more in detail a couple of weeks from now. There's a major machlekes rishonim about whatever you have a mitzvah derabbanan. Does the mitzvah derabbanan qualify? Does that count as a tzorech hayom? It's a little bit of a funny shaila, because if you'd ask Moshe Rabbeinu, can I carry this? Can I light this fire to do this mitzvah derabbanan? So Moshe Rabbeinu would respond, well, that doesn't exist. Mitzvah derabbanan don't exist in the Torah world, so to speak. So from a pure deraisa, I think a level, the tzorech hayom derabbanan is not really a tzorech. On the other hand, it's kind of hard to understand. I can carry a tissue min haTorah because blowing my nose is a tzorech. So doing a mitzvah derabbanan is not a tzorech. So some Rishonim will say, yeah, that's right. That the Torah recognizes a physical need of blowing your nose, but the Torah doesn't recognize the mitzvah derabbanan. It doesn't exist in the world of deraisas. So that was a big machlekes rishonim. It comes up in Psachim because as machlekes tais in the Ran, if a person finds chametz in the house on Pesach and they were ready mevatel the chametz, min haTorah technically they can leave the chametz there. There's really no need to get rid of it. The only reason why they have to get rid of the chametz is only mid derabbanan. So the rishonim have a machlekes: can you burn that chametz on Pesach on Yom Tov? So Tosfos writes, Mikra din, you're really allowed to burn that chametz. Technical reasons, maybe you shouldn't, but Mikra din, you're allowed to burn that chametz on Yom Tov. And Tosfos writes, Tzorech Hayom. Tosfos writes, it's a mitzvah derabbanan, getting rid of chametz, is the Tzorech Hayom. And the Ran himself says, no. If you weren't mevatel the chametz yet, so then you're over by Rabbi Motzei. That's a real tzorech. That's a significant need. That's a deraisa that you need. So deraisa that you need, you can do. A derabbanan that you need, not so fast, not so posh. You could do it. Maybe there are one of the mitzvahs called a shalol tzorech hayom. So that's a question. So yeah, tell you.
So if we have a mitzvah to listen, bekamta ve'alita, or all the mitzvot that we have to listen, how do we have the question if mitzvah didrabanan is a tzorech hayom?
Oh, very good. Actually, a good question on the Ram. You're saying that I'm about to be yotze the mitzvah deraisa of listening to the chachamim. So that's the tzorech. Oh, that's a good question.
Hanukkah,
that's right. Okay, all right. We have to figure out. So when we get this to call vocal, we'll have to figure this out. We have to think this through. That's a very, very powerful question according to Shita Saran. The pashas is we don't even pass like this round. The pashas pshat is that we pass like Tais. The Shibur quotes Tais halacha that even a mitzvah derabbanan is a tzarech. But later posts can point out a mitzvah derabbanan may be a tzarech. What if it's not even a mitzvah? It's a nice thing. It's a minik time. It's a customary activity. Is that a tzarech? I don't know. It's hard to know. So mitzvah deraisa is the tzarech. It may be mitzvah derabbanan. We can argue like Tais is the tzarech. Something is only a minyan. Can a minyan Yisrael qualify as a tzarech? So I'll throw out an interesting shayla. Person heard Kishayf already, and he wants to hear the last 30. He wants to hear the kolos for Ein Sisra. The minyan. Hear 100 kolos in Rosh Hashanah. You're allowed to carry a shofar in Rosh Hashanah deraisa for that? Is that a tzarech? Not a mitzvah deraisa, not a mitzvah derabbanan. Not so simple. Not so poshut. That's what some achronim are very, very weary. They say, that, wait a second, lighting a yurtzeit candle, not a mitzvah deraisa, not a mitzvah derabbanan. It's not a minhag Yisrael. I'm not making light of a mitzvah of a minhag Yisrael. It's very, very important. But a minhag is a minhag. A minhag is not a mitzvah. A minhag is not a deraisa. It's not the same thing. So we have to be careful in halacha. You know, on the one hand, we don't want to, Mishnah says in Pirkei Avos that having zorb a mitzvah kalakim chamura, we have to be mapping everything. We have to be mapping a minhag Yisrael and deraisa, everything. You have to be mapped on to do. On the other hand, you still have to, doesn't mean that everything is the same. It doesn't mean that eating on Yom Kippur is the same as, some minig of something. It's not exactly the same. There's a hierarchy in halacha. When the Mishnah says that having zov mitzvah kala chamur doesn't mean to say there isn't a hierarchy. Of course there's a hierarchy. Of course there are chamurs and there are kalas. There are nafkaminas ladina between the two. So the nafkaminas ladina between minhagim and between mitzvahs, between their isis and their rabbanans. So we have to understand, is something that's only the terrorist minig, is that to sanction violating the
again. I don't. When they came to us, he hold them to the minhag of avotehem. He makes it almost like a din.
But the truth is, I'm not minimizing that we have to keep minhagim. That's not what I'm saying. Saying is, can we justify that doing a minhag qualifies a tzarach? So you're asking the question, l'shitascha. You asked me before about the rabbanim. You asked me the same question. It's a good question that since the halacha is you're supposed to follow the minhagim, so isn't that gufa considered to be enough for tzarach? Maybe you're right. Maybe the answer to your question is you're right. So some achronim thought that way, and others thought maybe not so fast. And even with the minhagim, you know, they're minhagim and hagim. Not every minhag is created equal. You know, we sometimes we throw around the word minhag to mean, oh, it's a minhag to do this. They're minhagim at tzibur, they're minhagim in family. Those are learned afyamim, babu shenagu. It's tomorrow's daf, babu shenagu. So just because people like do things, like is lighting a yurtzeit candle a formal minhag yisrael that's whole tokef of a minhag? I don't know, I'm not so sure. I don't know, not all minhagim are necessarily created equal. It's not like the minhag of Chapi Hoshanis, that's a minhag that appears in Chazal, that's a minhag that was minhag Hanavim. There are different daragas, different degrees of minhagim. Anyway, Lemaisa, there was a big machlekes up asking, can you go ahead, can you sanction the lighting of a candle for the purposes of a yurtzeit, for the purpose of saying yisk or not? There are different opinions about this. We had the shayla one time at back in L.A., remember in the early years after we got married, we used to go every Yom Tov to California to the in-laws. So we had a shayla once that the Shabbos clock wasn't set properly for the Leil HaSeder. Like 11 o'clock at night, all the lights in the dining room went out. So it was a little bit dark. So we were, and the Yom Tov candles were pretty much out already. So the question was, can we light new candles? Not to strike a match, take candles from the stove, whatever it is, from here to get on and light a couple of new candles. The question is, what's the great tzarech exactly? If the tzarech is to say Sipur Tzias Mitzrayim, that's a tzarech ha-mitzvah. If the tzarech is for benching, Hallel, those are the tzarech, to sing Chagadja. It's a minhag Yisrael to sing Chagadja. And if you don't sing Chagadja, the world won't come to an end. I remember when my grandma, Lasham, she would always come to us for Pesach. So, you know, she grew up in Eastern Europe in a little shtetl, no chachmas, no teiris, no, there was no deraisas, there are bonus minhagim, you know, the cheshbainas. Everything was Kaddish Kadoshim. So she would sit by the Seder. I remember in the last years of her life, she would sit by the Seder. And we would already be done, and she would still be sitting there. Chagadja, Chagadja, there's Abin Abin, Chagadja, Chagadja, Yosef Shem, Chagadja. And mom was like, Krishna Megillah, like Krishna, like every single, everything it was. That was Tmimistika, you know, Amuna. That was mom's, the Pasha, the Amuna. So that's beautiful. That's wonderful. I also encourage to say Chagadja. But would I light a candle to enable him to sing Chagadja? I don't know. I'm not so sure. I don't know. Even, I'm not sure you would permit even to light a candle for Chagadja. I don't know. It's like, Yilash Lechem, I'm from Chagadja. Did he even say Chagadja by you? I don't know. It's an Ashkenazi thing, no? They still say it by the sign. But I can't hear you on mute.
We do say Chagadja. Not only that, to top it, we all say it with translation too in Arabic.
Oh boy, okay. All right, so I guess if you don't have the candles on, you won't know how to say the translation in Arabic. You can light candles for that also. So.
Usually when we don't have candles, before we know, somebody else put them on.
Okay, good, fair enough. Anyway, at the end of the day, I'm just trying to highlight the fact that we who paskin against Havar Lav Yatzas, this has opened up a whole world for us. Not a Hilchot Shabbos. So I know tonight was a Hilchot Shabbos, I'm well aware of that, but it was really more Chazon than Hilchot Shabbos. And just a reminder that all of the discussion about lighting candles is not talking about striking matches or turning on the electric, you know, the pilots. That's a whole nother ballgame. That's an issue, the Rabbanan of the Moti Eish, but Eitzman Avonim, the Rabbanan, Molin, Nolan, whatever the different reasons for that are. So, and again, Lemaisa, because we reject the view of our Lavi Yatzos, that has opened up a whole world for us, less of Hilchot Shabbos than it is in terms of Hilchot Yom. Okay, hopefully that's your next week. So I think we'll move on to the next malach. I think we're up to Machava Patish already, and I think that may be the last malacha, because Hotzah is checked in the last malacha, but that means learning all of Erevin. So I think we're going to maybe put that on hold, maybe for another time, another place. So I think hopefully that's next week we'll begin Machava Patish, which would take us a couple of weeks to no pun intended, to Gemar Malacha and Machava Patish. So we'll hopefully begin get off to a good start next week. Okay.